Friday, July 25th, Feast of St. James the Apostle. The first reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 7 through 15. Brothers and sisters, we hold this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing power may be of God and not from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not constrained, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being given up to death for the sake of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since then we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We too believe, and therefore speak, knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and place us with you in his presence. Everything indeed is for you, so that the grace bestowed in abundance on more and more people may cause the thanksgiving to overflow for the glory of God. Haydock Commentary. The life of Jesus is manifest in our bodies when we suffer and undertake voluntary sufferings for his sake. Death worketh in us when we are under persecutions and dangers of death, and life in you who live in ease and plenty. The preaching of the gospel which we undertake in such a disinterested manner and which exposes us to so many dangers is the cause of death to us, but of life to you. It draws down upon us 1,000 dangers and disgraces, but procures you all kinds of advantages. You tranquilly enjoy the fruit of our labor, though we do not envy you this happiness, because we hope one day to enjoy the reward of our labors. All things that we suffer are for your sakes, that many may be brought to give thanks and to praise God for eternity. This encourages us not to fail nor faint in the cause of God under these momentary and light tribulations, which mark in us above measure an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 28. The mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered him, "Command that these two sons of mine sit, one at your right and the other at your left, in your kingdom." Jesus said in reply, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I am going to drink?" They said to him, "We can." He replied, "My chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit at my right and at my left, this is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus summoned them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be the first among you shall be your slave. Just so the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Haydock Commentary. Upon Christ's informing his apostles that he should die and rise again, they conceived that he would immediately reign in Jerusalem with great glory and power. And it was this that made the mother of the sons of Zebedee petition that they might take precedence and be honored by the other apostles. But Christ answers them that they knew not what they asked, for honors were to be bestowed not on relationship, but on merit. In like manner, the dignities of the church are not to be conferred upon relatives, but upon the worthy. On comparing the 27th chapter of St. Matthew with the 15th chapter of St. Mark, it will appear that the mother of James and John is the same as Salome. In Mark, we find that the sons themselves made this petition. Both the sons and their mother might make it. At least the sons may be said to have done what they got their mother to desire for them, and therefore Christ directed his answer to them, "You know not what you ask." St. John Chrysostom says, "You think of temporal preferments, of honors and crowns, when you should be preparing yourselves for conflicts and battles." St. Jerome says, "Our Lord suffers these occasional weaknesses in his apostles, that he might, from his instructions and corrections, render his doctrines more intelligible to them and to posterity." The chalice is a metaphor signifying Christ's sufferings and death. See Psalm 10:7, Psalm 74:9, and Isaiah 51:17. The apostles replied, "We can drink thy cup." Their answer showed their readiness, but their want of humility. "Of my chalice indeed you shall drink." St. James was the first apostle that suffered martyrdom at Jerusalem, see Acts 12:2, and St. John at Rome was put into a cauldron of boiling oil and banished into Patmos. "To sit at my right and my left is not mine to give you." The Arian heretics objected these words against Christ's divinity. St. Augustine answers that the words are true if taken of Christ as he was man. The easier answer is that it was not his to give to them while they were in those dispositions of pride and ambition, so that the distinction made is not betwixt the Father and his eternal Son, as if the Father could give what the Son could not, but betwixt persons worthy and not worthy of such a favor. There is no exception of persons with God, for whosoever is worthy of heaven shall receive it as the reward of his merits. Therefore Christ answers them, "It is not mine to bestow the kingdom of heaven upon you, because you are not yet deserving, on account of your pride in seeking to have yourselves preferred before my other apostles. But be ye humble, and heaven is prepared for you, as well as for all others, who are properly disposed." Greatness in the next life will be proportioned to humility in this life. The 10 were moved with indignation against the two brothers, who had petitioned for the first and chief places. The disciples understood from our Lord's answer that the request came in the first instance from the two disciples, but as they saw them much honored by Christ, they did not dare openly to accuse them. So says St. John Chrysostom. The other 10 apostles were as much wrong in their anger and jealousy as the former two were in their untimely petition. In his answer to both, we cannot sufficiently admire the wonderful meekness of our blessed Savior's character. Our Lord, wishing to extinguish the indignation conceived against the two brothers, lays before them the difference of secular and ecclesiastical princes, showing that precedency in the church is neither to be sought for by him who is not possessed of it, nor too eagerly loved by him who has it. For secular princes are lords of their subjects, keeping them under subjection, and govern them in every particular according to their will. But ecclesiastical princes are honored with precedency that they may be servants of their inferiors, administer to them whatever they have received from Christ, neglect their own convenience for the good of their neighbor, and be willing even to die for the spiritual good of their subjects. It is neither just nor reasonable, therefore, to desire precedency in the church without these qualifications. No prudent man is willing to subject himself to such servitude and danger as to take upon himself the obligation of having to give an account of the wickedness and perversity of others, unless, fearless of the divine judgments, he abuse his ecclesiastical superiority. So says St. John Chrysostom.